Thank you, Reverend Gray, again for the words of welcome. It is good to be with you tonight in Enniskillen. It's especially good for me. It means I haven't had to travel as far as I usually do. It's usually me has to travel the long distance and the rest of them get to travel just not so far. But they've all had a brave long drive tonight. But I don't think Philip's preaching will put them off to sleep. Hopefully they'll manage to stay awake for the whole service. And it is good to be with you. All joking aside, it is good to renew fellowship. It is good to have an opportunity to come to our churches and to preach God's word, because really we are just novices in preaching. And if we didn't get the opportunities to come and preach well, we would remain novices, and maybe, well, we will remain novices for a long time. We'll never be the perfect preacher, but we do really cherish these opportunities. And not just that, not just to improve us, but that we can have fellowship with other believers in Christ. So see brothers and sisters in Christ who we may never have met before. And it is good to have this opportunity. I know some faces here, and it's good to see them again. But we're just going to join together now in singing the hymn 9, hymn number 9 in our hymn book, found on the page 178. Hymn number 9, "With harps and with viols there stand a great throng." And we will stand together as we sing this hymn together.
Jesus, as sin is new.
beautiful words that hymn contains, and what great truth even there in the verse 4. How helpless and hopeless we sinners had been if he had never had loved us till cleansed from our sin. We stand here tonight in this pulpit because God has shown his love towards us and we are saved. And we come to share that message with thee also, that thou can have salvation if you put your faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we come tonight in our own strength, we come in vain. So we need to seek the Lord's help. We need to seek the presence of the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit would move from pew to pew in this place tonight. And we're going to call upon our brother, Julian Patterson. Julian is a third-year theological student from our Cumber congregation. He is going to come and seek the Lord's face in prayer.
Let's pray, folks. Lord, we still ourselves afresh again, and we still ourselves because we are before God. We stand in awe in thee, in sight of thee, and sin not. We come before thee this evening, and we do thank thee that we come to our King. And Lord, we rejoice in the opportunity and privilege that thou hast afforded us, who were poor and vile, helpless sinners. Lord, we do thank thee that whilst we were vile and helpless, yet today we are sat amongst princes and kings. How we rejoice, Lord, in the truth that we have been singing, that he maketh the rebel a priest and a king. Lord, we stand before thee this evening, and we do thank thee for the grounds in which we can approach thee just now. And we thank thee most importantly for our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the one who was made of a woman, made under the law to redeem us who are under the curse and condemnation of that law. Lord, we thank thee this evening that we come the blood-sprinkled way. No other way would we plead except the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we approach thee, the one who is great and greatly to be praised. Hallowed be thy name. Lord, we approach thee this evening, and we approach thee upon the grounds of our Saviour. We thank you, Lord, that we can come to thee and plead all of our needs and plead all of our wants before thee. We do that just now. We confess our sins like Job, who had a sight of the greatness of God. We simply take that place as a repentant sinner and repent in dust and ashes. And we confess our sin, and we as it were would leave it outside the door. We thank thee, O God, for the one who comes and cleanses our sin so that no man can lay any charge to anything to the charge of God's elect. Lord, we do thank thee for the Lord Jesus. We thank thee for one in whom who forgives our sin, completely covers it, so that we are saw as perfect in thy sight. And Lord, we plead the blood for our meeting tonight. We plead all of the value and all of the virtue of the blood of the Lamb. We just simply ask, Lord, that thou wilt come, that thou wilt shut us in with thee. O Lord, may we know what it is to be shut in with God this evening. Lord, we desire, Lord, that we would know what Noah knew, to be shut in with thee in the ark. Lord, we pray, Lord, then to that end, that thou wilt come and that thou wilt minister to each and to every need. We know, Lord, that as we would look out upon this gathering of people, that there are several and different needs. Yeah. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt meet everybody at the point of their need. Yeah. Remember those who are mourning, Lord, this evening. We pray especially for our sister Audrey. Remember her, Lord, in the family circle. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt draw near to them. How we thank thee for the all-sympathizing Saviour, our great high priest who cannot be helped but be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, and one who not only sympathizes with us but enters into our griefs, the man of sorrows. Lord, we pray for all of the needs of the sorrowing and also of the sick, Lord, of this congregation. We know there are those within the ranks of this congregation who would love to be in the house of God, whether it be this morning or this evening, but they cannot because of weakness of the body or sickness of the mind. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt meet them at the point of their need. Remember especially the poor and needy sinner tonight. Lord, we pray for them. pray for them, Lord, because, quite frankly, they cannot pray for themselves. We ask, Lord, that thou wilt meet them at the point of their great and massive need, Lord, tonight, the need of their sin. O God, how we pray, Lord, that thou wilt come and that thou wilt convict of sin and convert to the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, give us a hallowed time tonight, a time as, Lord, as Moses stood back from the burning bush, he confessed, Lord, that the ground that he was standing upon was holy. O God, may we stand back, as it were, and see the salvation of God, stand back at the divine Son and just simply drink it in this evening, and like Mary, be found at his feet this evening. So bless and undertake tonight. We crave thy presence and claim it now, and pray, Lord, that thou wilt come and bless us tonight. Hear and answer prayer, for we offer these prayer in, of course, Jesus' precious and all-worthy name.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to call upon the rest of the students to join us at the front tonight. We're going to sing together, if you want to follow along, the words of hymn 203, and we're going to sing the first two verses together. Try our best. It is our requirement of being in the college, as you heard this morning, to be a child of God, to be a student in the college. And it is falls upon our brother, Brian Normer. Brian Normer, who is a second-year student from our Ballymena congregation. And he's going to come and testify of how the Lord has saved him and how the Lord is leading him. It's not a testimony of anything that he has done, but it's a testimony of what his God has done for him.
You have your Bibles with you. I would like to read a verse from 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. And if you don't have a Bible with you, I see that there is some provided here by the church in front of you, and you can read along there. But faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. Let us hear God's word. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I can honestly say that I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and all the truths, but I thank and praise God that worthy is the Lamb of God which was slain. And this is my testimony. It is of what Christ has done for me, a sinner saved by grace. And that's all that I am. I am what I am because of the grace of God. I didn't have the privilege of growing up in a Christian household. Perhaps the privilege that some of you have had in this meeting, but rather an unconverted one. But nonetheless, I was born just the same as each and every person in this meeting, born outside of Christ, from the minister to the babe in the mother's arms, born just the same. Born a stranger to grace and to God, born without Christ, born a child of wrath, born on the road that leadeth to destruction. And friend, that is how it is with you outside of Christ. Yes, I didn't have the privilege of growing up in a Christian household, but having Christian parents will not get us into heaven. There must be repentance and faith toward our Savior, toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, my testimony is owing to what He has done. As I said, I grew up in an unconverted household. The first time I had the privilege of hearing the word of God, the preaching of divine truth, was at the age of 14. I went along with a man by the name of Ryan Smith to Randallstown Free Presbyterian Church. And I heard God's word being faithfully preached. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. God was speaking directly to me that night, telling me that I was a sinner, that I needed to be saved. I remember it clearly, sitting in the middle of the balcony. I wasn't worried about the people who was around me. And I knew God speaking directly to me, but to my shame and to my rejection of the free offer of the gospel, I went out of that meeting, continuing and my own self-determined sinfulness, falling deeper and deeper into sin and the ways of the world, rejecting Christ and having my own way. At the age of 19, 5 years later, Through pride, I wouldn't go to the doctors. My friends would tell me, "Brian, you need to go." They could see that I wasn't well. And through pride, I wouldn't go. I'll be okay. I'll be dead on. And 2 weeks later, I was rushed into A&E, nearly dead. And I remember at the edge of the hospital bed, crying unto the Lord, but it was in the sense, "Lord, if you get me out of this situation, I'll do anything for you." You see, you don't bargain with God. But in that terms, that's what my cry was. And the Lord preserved me from the grave, but the work of salvation wasn't wrought within the soul. For I was still on the broad road that leadeth to destruction. And in God's mercy, he did preserve me from the grave. And in God's providence, the same man that took me to the meeting at the age of 14, he came in my path in life, in the providence of God, and I began working with him. I was working in JJB Sports at the time. I hated the place. I couldn't stand it. The funny thing is, I hated working with the public. I hated working with people. And it just shows you that the Lord fits you for service. And it's not in and of ourselves. For I wouldn't be in Bible college. And anyway, cut a long story short, he was going to Kenya to do a bit of painting. For he was a painting decorator, and he asked me, "Could I paint?" And I says, "Aye, what's there to paint? No bother, I can paint." But I was only saying that because I hated the place and where it was. And anyway, I handed my notice in that day, and I began working with this believer. And he would tell me things of the Bible each day. That man lived before me. There was something different about that man's life. In life, I was always searching for happiness in the things of this world, but nothing would ever fit. There was no contentment. And that man had something that I didn't have. He had Christ. He had peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He had sins forgiven. He had peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that man was faithful to witnessing to my soul. He would tell me things of the Bible, my need of salvation, the need to be born again. And he would then went on to ask me, would I go into a meeting to the Sunday services? And I says, "Aye, I'll go, no bother. And the man's been decent enough to give me a job. I'll repay the favour in the sense I'll go to church with him on a Sunday night." And it was on the 13th of May that I began working with this believer. And on the 1st of May 2006, I cried the sinner's prayer. Mr. Greer had the great joy of pointing me to my Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And friends, that's all. As perhaps, like me, a friend has brought you into this meeting. This meeting tonight, you're not here by chance or coincidence. You're here in the providence of God. And friend, that person has brought you because they desire to see you saved, to see you clothed and in your right mind, to see you fit for heaven, because at present you're only fit for hell. And so are we, because we don't deserve what we have. We all deserve hell. But yet the Lord saved us. Amen. And he made us that which we are now. Yes, truly, we are unprofitable servants at best. We're nothings and nobodies. We're sinners just the same as you, but friend, we're sinners saved by grace. The only difference is our sins are forgiven. And it's only because of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners of whom I am chief. May the Lord bless all that has been of himself. Amen. For his own name's sake. Amen. Amen.
What a joy it is to be able to testify of what the Lord has done in his life. And may we who are saved do the same, contemplate what the Lord has done in our lives. And it is only when we look back that we truly see how the Lord has leaded and guided. There was Brian, as he says, hated working with the public, and I think that's changed now. I think he enjoys working with people now, at least I hope he does. But no, it's great what the Lord has done in that young man's life, and how the Lord continues to lead him and the rest of the students. And at this point of the service, just a call upon your own minister, Reverend Gray, to come and bring the necessary announcements for the week ahead.
Well, it is good to see you all here this evening, and we welcome you in the Saviour's precious name. And it is a great delight to have the students with us again this evening, and we certainly enjoyed the meeting this morning, and we have enjoyed the meeting thus far, and our brother's testimony. What a wonderful privilege and honour to be saved by God's grace. And you tonight can be saved if you come and trust the Lord Jesus as your Redeemer. But we do thank you for coming. We see some visitors in as well. We give you a very warm welcome. And we pray that the Lord will bless us all tonight as God's word is open before us. Just a few announcements very, very quickly. Do remember the prayer meeting on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. And our brother Dave DeCano will be here with us to take the prayer meeting. Our brother Dave is a missionary in Liberia. He's home at the moment, of course, because of the Ebola outbreak. But he'll be coming along on Tuesday night to tell us a little bit about the work in Liberia and what he's doing now and how he feels the Lord leading him at this present moment. So if you don't normally come to the prayer meeting, you're very welcome to come along and hear our brother's testimony and how the Lord is leading him. And there'll be an offering taken up for the work that he's involved in. Friday night is the children's meeting at 6:30. Do remember to pray for all of the children's meetings throughout the week and all of the different venues, that the Lord will give grace and bless the boys and girls as they're gathered in. Youth fellowship also will be on Friday night at 8 o'clock. And on Saturday night, the Brookborough youth meeting for the senior youth. And I would encourage the senior young people to make their way over to Brookborough on Saturday night. And our brother Colin, will be taking that meeting in the will of the Lord. Do remember to pray for the mission down across the border that Colin and our brother Reverend Power are having at the moment, that the Lord will bless that gospel campaign and that the people of the local area will be brought under the sound of the gospel. Do remember to pray for our own mission that we're having in the will of the Lord from Sunday the 12th to Sunday the 26th of April in Letterbreen in Moybrone Orange Hall. And our brother Ronnie McLean and myself will be preaching at that mission. There are leaflets at the door, so feel free to take one. It'll give you all the information on it. We'll be getting more printed, of course. We'll be going out around the doors the week before, and I'll be saying more about that when the time comes. But do pray much about the mission. I know you have been praying for it. We've been praying all year for it, and very soon it'll come upon us, but continue to remember this mission and get inviting people in under the sound of the gospel. The May picnic will be on Saturday, the 2nd of May, Lisbelaw Orange Hall. And just to draw your attention to that, I know it's a few weeks before that comes about, but it'll soon come on us. So keep that date free. Also on Thursday night of this week in our church in Mockerfeld, Brother Stephen McRae is being ordained and installed to the Christian ministry. He's got the call to Carrickfergus congregation, but that service is going to be held in Mockerfeld Free Presbyterian Church, and you'll be very welcome if you'd like to go along and support our brother as he's ordained to the ministry. Also, do remember this week is the Asher Beckery case. I think it's on Thursday of this week. Please pray for the family concerned that the Lord will give them grace and help. We have been praying about this matter and would ask you especially to continue to pray this week that the Lord will give special grace and a victory for his glory and his great name's sake. Now, I think that's all the announcements. Again, we'd like to welcome the students. We pray that the Lord will bless them And we're going to hand over again to our brother Ray. Thank you.
I'm going to ask you to please turn with me in your hymn books to the hymn 229, hymn 229, found on page 269 of the hymn book. Hymn 229, Jesus is tenderly calling thee home. And we'll stand, or we'll remain seated while your offering is taken up for the Lord's work. Getting down to the preaching of the word now, but before the word is preached, the word is going to be read to us. And our sister, Miss Alana Stewart, is a second year college student from Macrofell congregation. She is going to come and read God's precious word to us. And then immediately after that, our brother, Philip Knowles. Philip is a second year theological student from our Sandown congregation.
Our reading this evening is taken from the book of Mark, chapter 10. Mark, chapter 10. And we're going to read verse 32 to 34 and then skip down and start again at verse 45 to the end of the chapter. So Mark, chapter 10, 32 to 34. and then 45, down to the end of the chapter. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles, and they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Amen.
I'd like to thank Alana for reading the Word of God. And I'd like to thank as well our brother Ray, Kerskallen. Ray is a second year ministerial or theological student from our Kesh Free Presbyterian Church. And we want to thank Ray as well on behalf of the students for his fellowship today in the afternoon. It was a blessing and we're well fed. Perhaps we'll just keep our Bibles open and we'll seek the Lord now in prayer. You pray with me now that God will speak to your heart. You pray that the Lord would be merciful to you tonight. If you've come week after week, you're still not saved. Well, we pray this would be the night that you would call on the name of the Lord and be saved. You pray now and ask God to speak. Our Father and our God, we come afresh into thy most holy presence this night. Lord, I need thee just now. Lord, I ask of thee that thou wilt stand beside me. Fill me with thy Spirit. We thank thee already for what has gone already this night. And Father, we thank thee for testimonies of thy sovereign grace. But, O God, we believe that thou art able to save tonight. And, Father, we pray tonight that thou wilt call sinners to thyself. Lord, we pray as thy word would be preached, Lord, that thou wilt apply thy word to every heart. And, O God, we cry unto thee that we would leave this house saying, It was good to have been here, for we met with thee. Lord, undertake for me tonight. Help me bring forth thy word. Lord, cleanse me of self. Cleanse me of sin, O God, and fill me with thyself. Lord, we need thy help tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. As we have been reading tonight in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, we read there at the opening verses of verse 32 through 34, and we have here a description of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is talking to his disciples, and he is explaining to them about the cross work that he is about to go. The scene is that he tells his children that they are going to go up with him. He's going to go up to Jerusalem. And there as he goes to Jerusalem, he's going to go to the cross to suffer, to bear all the sins of his people. And it's there he says to his people that I am going to be scarred. I am going to be scorned. If we read there the verse, it says that they'll also spit upon me. They shall kill me. And as the Lord tells his people of what he's going to go through, he then ends the conversation by verse 45 by saying the whole conclusion, giving the whole purpose to his work, for the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to give his life a ransom for many. And here it is, he's saying, I have a work to do. I was sent for a purpose to save sinners. that I shall save my people from their sin, that I have shed my precious blood for them on the cross. God has covenanted me unto a people, and they shall never perish. And I'm glad tonight that we can say about the precious blood that was shed at the cross at Calvary, we can still say tonight that there's still power in the blood of the Lamb to save the vilest of sinners. And that's what the Lord says here to his people. And as he goes across, he goes through Jericho, enters into Jericho, and goes to pass through Jericho. And we meet one of those men who Christ is about to go to the cross for and to shed his blood, a man called Bartimaeus. And we read there in verse 47 about this blind man. And we hear this man is sitting there, and he has heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. He has heard about this man who is passing this way. And to Bartimaeus, this isn't just any man, but this is Messiah. This is the one who can do something in his condition. This is the man who can take away his blindness and can give him light. And as this Jesus comes across, Bartimaeus begins to cry out. But what is the response of the people? Notice there in verse 47 about the crowd that was with the Lord Jesus. It says, and many charged him that he should hold his peace. The words there, charge, that means to rebuke. It has the idea of a threat. It has the idea of saying, you just sit down and keep quiet. Say nothing. Never mind about this man. Never mind what he can do for you. Just you sit there and keep quiet. And you can imagine the scene. This blind man just shouting out for mercy to the Lord Jesus. And people saying, keep quiet. Just sit down. Never mind. Just leave the man alone. And maybe that's you tonight. You've come under the sound of God's word time and time again. You're still not saved. And as you sit in God's house tonight, you know God's wrath is upon you. You know that if you die in your sin, that you'll go to a lost eternity. And maybe it's the people at your school. Maybe you've a family member who's not saved, and they would try to discourage you. They would say to you, never mind about getting saved. Never mind. Just stay with the crowd. Friend, I say that you'll not listen to them, but that you'll come and say, Lord Jesus, save me. Never mind the crowd, though they may not want to get saved, but Jesus, I'm a sinner and I want to get saved. Oh, don't let the world, don't let your family, don't let anybody stop you from coming to Christ. You see, the thing is, this was Bartimaeus' last opportunity, because as we said at the start, he's going up, the Lord Jesus Christ, to Jerusalem. There he's going to go on the cross. He's not going to come this way again. This is Bartimaeus' last opportunity. He's not going to hear the Lord speaking again. He's not going to hear the Lord saying, Bartimaeus. And he cries out. He realizes his need. He realizes this is my only opportunity. I've heard about this man, and now he's coming by, and I need this now. I need to get saved now. And that's what he did. Oh, I trust you'll do the same tonight. This could be your last opportunity tonight, for no man is promised tomorrow. Yeah. What about you tonight? Are you saved or are you lost? Could you honestly say, preacher, if I die tonight, I would not go to heaven. I would be lost. Oh, this could be your last opportunity tonight, where the voice of Jesus will not talk anymore. Friend, come, for my spirit shall not always strive with man. Bartimaeus, we want to know about this man, that Christ give sight to the spiritual blind. Well, notice, first of all, there is the condition of Bartimaeus. We read there in verse 46, said there that he was a blind man, and he was in Jericho. And Jericho has the idea, it means to smell. It was known for its palm trees and its beauty. Now, for time, we'll not go into the whole background historical information about Jericho. But Jericho was known as this beautiful place, the smell, the palm trees, and all those types of things. But because Bartimaeus was blind, he was not able to enjoy any of that. He was not able to see those trees. He could not see the sun. He could not see all the things that were described because of his blindness. Now, how did he become blind? Some now say he was born blind, though Scripture doesn't say that. Some have said that by working in the fields, that time where it would have been dry, the dust would have come in, blown in people's eyes, and that would have caused them to be blind. But one thing we can say, his name, if you take it apart, Bar in Greek means son, and Timaeus means honour. So he was the son of honour. And it could be that he had a good background. It could be that his family were well off, but through blindness or through death of the family, that Bartimaeus has been left alone. He hasn't been able to work, and because of that there, he's just fallen away to nothing. And we find him here begging. And he's blind, can't see anything. And his spiritual his physical condition teaches us a great spiritual condition of men who are blind spiritually. For we learn there in God's word of how blindness and sin came into the world, where God covenanted with Adam. Man was made upright. Man was made in the image of God with that concreated righteousness of knowledge and holiness. Thomas Watson said, the great Puritan, that man was the coin on which God stamped his image. Man enjoyed fellowship with God. Man enjoyed communication with God. Man enjoyed great times with God, his maker. But God entered into a covenant with man, and God put man in a test of probation that Adam was to obey the law of God. He had God's law written upon his heart. And as Adam stood there in the Garden of Eden, he stood as a legal and federal representation of all humanity. His decision affected all humanity. If he fell, then we fell in Adam. But if he succeeded, then we would have had the eternal blessings that were all promised to him. But we learn that Adam fell into temptation, that he ate off the forbidden fruit, and sin came into the world. We learn there in Hosea chapter 6, verse 7, but they, like men, the word translated men can be Adam, but they, like Adam, have transgressed the covenant. Here it is here. Sin has come into the world. Man now, by the God of this world, is spiritually blind. He is dead in his sin and his trespasses. He has lost communion. He's lost God's favor. He's lost God's fellowship. And now he's in a state of rebellion, an enemy against God, a child of wrath. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18, describes this condition when Paul talks to the believers at Ephesus, and he says to them, having our understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. And that word there, darkened, it means to have a cover over our eyes, that we're in darkness. And what it pictures is this, that because our mind is covered, our mind has got this veil covering with sin, we cannot see the things of God as clearly as we ought because of our sin. We cannot see the beauty of Christ in all of Scripture because we're spiritually blind. We can't see God's way of salvation. Oh, we see our own way of salvation. We think we have it right. We think that we can work some way to heaven. Oh, but we can't. We are spiritually blind, spiritually depraved. We can't see the blessed Son of God in Scripture. But notice also, not only was he blind, but he was a beggar. Because it says there, by the highway side begging. And that is in the continual tense. And it simply means this here, that every day this was his state. He was there begging at the side of the road because he was blind. He could not work. And you can imagine him sitting there on the road. Maybe he had a wee tin, maybe he had something on the ground, just hoping someone would put money or food into it, continually begging, because he was barren, he was broken, he had absolutely nothing to offer anybody. And we learn that as sinners, this is our condition. We cannot do anything to make ourselves better. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot open our eyes to understand God's law. We cannot give ourselves a salvation. For salvation is by grace alone. Salvation is of the Lord. We cannot do anything to make ourselves Christians. It must be a work of the Holy Ghost in the heart. It must be the Lord coming to convict you of your sin, letting you know the sin of your heart, the blackness of your sin, letting you know that you are a wretch, all set, lost. And then Christ comes and saves your soul. We learn there that in John chapter 9, verse 8, it talks about the man who was born blind, a different man. And it says this here, after he was saved, people said about his life, they said, "Is not this man the man who was blind? Is not this he that sat and begged?" And here it is, this other blind man. He was blind, he sat, and he was begging. What a condition of the sinner. He's blind and he's bound and he's begging. He can't do anything to change his condition. But notice, secondly, the cry of Bartimaeus. I want to know that he cried to the right person. Amen. Because it says there in verse 48, "Son of David." Whenever people were passing by, and Bartimaeus had heard about this man, no doubt Mark chapter 1 tells us that Christ's fame had spread abroad. All the works that he did, all the miracles, opening the eyes of other blind people, making the lame to walk, all these great things that he had did in lives spread abroad, and everybody was able to hear it. And no doubt Bartimaeus heard it as well. And whenever the Savior came to him, it just was not anybody, but it was this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of David, a title given to him as Messiah. He knew the prophecy of Isaiah 42, verse 7, the one who would open the eyes of the blind. And as he came across, he was in his darkness, he was in his blindness. You can imagine him in his condition. And here, this man goes across, and someone says, "It's Jesus of Nazareth." And straight away he says, "That's the man I need. What he has done for others, he can do for my life as well. He can take away my blindness. This is the man I need." And what does he say? It says he cried out. That word "cried out," it simply means to scream. You can imagine this crowd, such a loud crowd of people around the Savior. And Bartimaeus is there down on the ground, blind, just begging, knowing that there's the man that I need. And what does he do? He reaches out and says, "Son of David, Son of David," screaming out so loud. And it was so loud that people had to tell him to keep quiet. Oh, he came to the right person praying. And friend, you must come to the right person tonight. Amen. Because I cannot save you. Mr. Gray cannot save you. We learned today from a brother Julian's testimony that the Lord Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. We can only tell you about the lovely Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is altogether lovely, the Savior of sinners. But he is the only one who can save your soul and open up your blinded eyes. Notice as well that he cried the right petition, for you can see the urgency. You can see how he knows his condition now. He now feels the weight of his sin, his blindness, and he's there crying out, "Son of David, Son of David." And what does he say? "Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me." The word there, mercy, means to pity. It means to help one that is afflicted. And he is afflicted with this malady of blindness. And he's praying, "Lord, Son of David, have pity on me. Have mercy on me." That word is used many times in Scripture. It can be translated compassion. It can be translated mercy, where in Luke's Gospel we learn about the 10 lepers. And they came with their leprosy, and they said to the Lord, "Have mercy on me." We learn about the man in Mark chapter 5, legion, covered, possessed with demons. And when the Lord did a great work in his heart and cleansed him of his sin and of his demons, the Lord says, "Go home and tell thy friends what great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion or pity or mercy upon thee." We learn in Paul's testimony, don't we, throughout Scripture, of Paul the Apostle, that man before who was a hater of Christians, a hater of the Lord Jesus Christ. He put them in prison. He made havoc. He ordered the death of Stephen. And yet what did he say in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13? He said, I was before a blasphemer, persecutor, injurious, but I obtained mercy. The Lord had mercy on me. All those things, I was a sinner, the chief of sinners, but the Lord had mercy on me. And sinner, tonight, Jesus Christ can have mercy on you. You may say, but you don't understand what I've done. You don't understand where I go. You don't understand the things that I say. And I don't need to. Because I can say to you that if you cry out tonight for mercy, He is merciful and He will save. He will have mercy on you tonight. He cried to the right person. He cried the right petition. The hymn said, ye dwellers in darkness, with sin-blinded eyes, the light of the world is Jesus. Go wash at His bidding, and light will arise. The light of the world is Jesus. That's who we present to you tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, thirdly, there is the call to Bartimaeus. We've looked at his condition. We've looked at his cry. Notice now the call. Verse 49, the words that says, He calleth thee. Notice the assistance in this call. Because it says there, verse 49, and they called the blind man. And here it is. The Lord was pleased to use His servants. We learn that the Lord stopped. The Lord stood still. The Lord didn't pass by this man. The Lord didn't go by when He knew he had a need. But the Lord stood still. And He sent His disciples. He sent the men over to Him. And they came and said, Bartimaeus, the Master's calling for you. He's calling for you. And isn't that a great blessing? That God uses His children today. That God uses human instruments to bring forth the message of God's precious word. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And maybe tonight you're waiting for some audible voice from heaven. You're waiting from some big experience. You're waiting from some emotion or some electrocution or whatever it may be. But I say to you tonight, only the Lord Jesus Christ can change your life. It's not emotion. It's not a feeling. It's sovereign grace convicting you of your sin. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ called this man and He used His disciples. And what does that teach us? That where you go to college, you go to school, you go to work, present the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray that God will make you a soul winner for Him. Is there one who the Lord's leading on your life? Is there one that you know that's not saved just now that you can think about? That you can say, Lord, help me tomorrow by Your grace to go into school, college, work, wherever it may be, and bring that person fight them to the gospel mission to tell them about Jesus the mighty to save. For it says there in Luke's account of this that he called for him to be brought. The Savior called for this man to be brought. And you may say, but my wife's not saved, my son's not saved, what do I do? I say simply, bring them to the Lord Jesus. Notice as well the assurance of this call. For when they came to Bartimaeus, it says there in our verse, in verse 49, and Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called, and they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good comfort. Amen. Here they come to him, and they say, Bartimaeus, be of good comfort. The word means simply be of good courage. The idea is having assurance. You're sitting in darkness. Bartimaeus, we know your condition. The Savior knows that you're blind. You're dwelling in darkness. This is your situation physically. This is your situation spiritually. And we want you to know the Savior is saying, Bartimaeus, come to Him. Have good comfort. Be good cheer. There's nothing to fear. There's nothing to worry. But arise. Come forth. Awaken up. Don't delay. Don't hinder. He's not calling you to mock you. You're in your despair. You're in your situation. You know it. And the Savior knows it. Bartimaeus, come. Don't be discouraged. Don't dwell in your sin. Though you have no hope, Christ is your hope. Though you're in darkness, He can give you light. Charles Spurgeon said this here, that he was in a hospital in St. Cross Hospital over in England. And he had heard that they had said that they would give bread to anybody who would knock on the door. So Spurgeon, he said he went up to that hospital and he said, I knocked on the door boldly. And he said, and why should I not? Because they said, for anybody who knocks on that door, they will give bread. So if I knock on the door, why would they not give me bread? So Spurgeon, he knocked on that door. And the wee hatchet opened. And they saw him and they gave him out bread. And he was able to take that bread and eat with the other people who knocked on the door. And he said, it was a gift for all who knocked on the door. And sinner, what we're saying for you tonight, Christ's arms is wide open to say, believe on me and thou shalt be saved. Knock on my door, for all who come, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Friend, if you come tonight, he will in no wise cast you out. Amen. Notice as well the active response to this call. Because it says there, verse 50, what did he do? And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. You can imagine Bartimaeus. He's there in darkness, as we said. He's there sitting, he's begging. He's blind, he's bound. He can't do anything with his condition. People are just going by side by side. He's here. Here's this man. Jesus is here. He knows that's the one I need. The disciples come and say, Bartimaeus, the master is calling for you. And we're going to take you to him. What does he do? He casts off the garment. Now this garment was described as a long robe that they would have slept in. A long robe that they would have lived in every single day. So you can imagine how dirty it would have been. And he just cast it off. The illustration comes from that. The word cast off, it means to, what it's used in Isaiah chapter 1 verse 30. Not going into all the background information, but simply refers to the oak tree whose leaf fadeth. And in the Septuagint it reads this, throwing off the leaves. And if you ever look in the winter time, you'll see the trees. And the trees lose their leaves. And you'll see the leaves just falling off onto the ground. And you'll never see a tree jump back to grab those leaves back, will you? No, they just simply fall down. It's a complete separation. It's a complete disconnection from the branch. And what it's teaching here, any hindrance that that garment would have been for him getting up to move, that he was wrapped in, he simply threw it aside, got rid of it, and said, I am coming. I'm not going to let anything stop me. Anyone stop me. Oh, you can shout and tell me to keep quiet. This garment's around me, but I'm taking it off because I want to come and I want this man to give me my sight. What's stopping you tonight from coming to the Savior? Who's stopping you tonight from coming to the Savior? Friend, I trust whatever it is, that you'll be like this man, a complete repentance from it. Just cast it off and say, I'm not letting that thing hold me back any longer. I need to get right with God tonight. Amen. I need to be sure tonight that I leave this building, that I am headed for heaven, that I'm going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Fourthly, and coming near the end here, we've looked at his condition, his cry, his call, but notice his cure, because it was a particular cure. Notice verse 51, it says, Bartimaeus then came, and the Savior asked, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the Savior knew fine rightly his condition. The Savior knew what he needed, but he needed Bartimaeus to be able to say, I am blind. And what he was admitting is saying, I have a need. And that's what you have to do tonight, sinner. You have to say, preacher, I have a need. When I come to Christ to get saved, I know I'm lost. Because he came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Well, Bartimaeus knew he had a need. And what did he say? That I may receive my sight. And that's a very important phrase, that I may receive my sight. Because that, if you know, in Isaiah chapter 61 and Luke chapter 4, verse 18, was a word, well, it was the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, where it says there, that phrase that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And in that verse, it says this phrase, and recovering sight to the blind. And when he said that I may receive my sight, the phrase actually reads that I may recover, that I may restore my sight. And the Lord Jesus' ministry was to go and give restore sight to the blind. And what he was saying, that he came to undo all that Adam did, because God in Christ reconciles the world unto himself. Adam lost fellowship. Christ will restore that fellowship. He will restore all and even greater. And that's why, child of God tonight, if you're saved, you will never be lost. Why? Because Christ is now in heaven, and because of your union in Christ, you are theirs in heaven as already. You see, Christ came to obey the law. Adam disobeyed the law. He sinned against God. He broke the law. And God still required perfect obedience, for the standard of the law has not changed. When Adam fell, God didn't say, I'll think of something else. The standard of perfect holiness still stands. But you can't keep it, and I could never keep that standard. But there is one who came to fulfill that standard of perfect obedience, the Lord Jesus Christ. By his perfect life and his perfect death, he did what we could not do. And he went to the cross to shed his precious blood and to say, it is finished. Nothing more to be done. Nothing more to be added. Nothing more to be taken away. That's why you cannot save yourself. That's why a priest cannot save you. I cannot save you. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can save you. It was a permanent cure. Thy faith hath made thee whole. You may say, well, how do I know his sight was really, really healed? How do I know it's not one of these TV evangelists that, you know, all these people make these things up and next thing all these stories come across? How do I know that this man is completely healed, that he can see again? Because it says there, thy faith hath made thee whole. The word whole, it means something continued. And the word received, as we looked at, to restore, it refers in the tense of a one-time action with lasting results. That means simply this here, that when he received his sight, it was a one-time action with lasting results, that he could see every single day now. That nature was restored. I close with this here. D.L. Moody was in a meeting, and it was near Christmas, and he was describing this story. He had read it in some article he didn't know. I said about this man who had, was in the street at Christmas, and there was a shop window all beautifully decorated. And there was three girls looking at that window. But he noticed one girl was different in the middle. She seemed fuzzy, she seemed strange, she didn't seem to get it. The two girls were explaining to her everything that was in the window. Look at this and look at that colour, look at this colour. But the girl just didn't seem to get it. After he realised she was blind, and she just didn't understand anything that they were saying to her at all. D.L. Moody turned around and said, you know, Christians, that's what it's like telling people who are not saved the gospel. They just don't understand. They can't get it. They can't describe. Why? Because they're spiritually blind. That man at the end of the service, the man ran up to D.L. Moody. He said, Mr. Moody, that illustration you told, me, where did you get that? D.L. Moody said, well, I read it in some article. I can't remember. He said, the man said to Moody, well, I wrote that article. I was the one, I was there, I saw it all. And then after he said, but you know, now I understand. I said, I'm like that girl in the middle. I'm spiritually blind. And that night, D.L. Moody pointed that man to the Lord Jesus. What about you tonight? Can you say, preacher, I am spiritually blind. I'm not saved. I'm not a Christian. I don't understand this. Oh, we trust that you'll come tonight and let the Lord Jesus Christ open your eyes.
Amen.
Let the Lord Jesus Christ save your soul. You can go out of here tonight knowing that your sins have been forgiven because Jesus has done all things well. Will you come tonight and put your trust in the lovely Lord Jesus Christ, the one who gave himself for sinners?
Our time is gone. We will close our meeting in prayer. And I would just like to echo what our brother has said, that if you come tonight, and if you're here tonight and for the first time you have realized that you are blind in your sins, that you would come to Christ, come to Him, acknowledge that He is your only way of salvation, and that you may leave this place fear no longer, and that you may hear the voice of Christ saying to you tonight, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. That you unite our hearts in prayer, and if you have a concern for your eternal welfare, your soul, come speak to anybody in the church who you know is saved and will be willing to speak to you. Or even just come quietly in the pew yourself tonight. You don't need a man to save you, but it is coming to Christ by that faith, knowing that He is the only way of salvation. Our Lord and our God, we come before Thee tonight rejoicing that Thou art a God who can restore the sight of the blind. We think of that great hymn, Amazing Grace, and how that old slave trader was able to come and say he was blind, but now he sees. Dear Lord, we are no better than him. We have all been guilty of great sins. Each one has offended thy law. And we come, dear Lord, and ask thee to save the souls of men and women this night, the souls of boys and girls. We pray that thou would speak on. The preacher's voice has now ceased. But, dear Lord, we ask for thy voice to continue. Even as we go into our home, may that voice be heard. Amen. And may you give no rest until that one comes and calls upon the name of thy dear Son. Amen. Dear Lord, we do pray now that thou apart us with thy blessing. We do pray for safety in the journey home. Amen. And, dear Lord, may we rejoice all this week long in what thou hast done for us. We just ask these things now in the name of our loving Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.